Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning. What a beautiful day it is. And I'm saying it's beautiful not just because I am looking out the window and the sun is shining. I am saying it's a beautiful day because I am alive to praise the Lord and rejoice and continue to do what it is that he has called me to do. This is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And this is your host, Tabika Garnes. It is so good to be with you for another Saturday. And our beloved Apostle Banks is at a retreat. And I forgot about that when I said she would be on with us last week. But she is on a retreat, a leadership retreat, and I can't wait to talk to her to see what it is that she has to share, because I know she has some awesome information that she learned over the last couple of days. So good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning to our loyal listeners. Good morning to those of you that wake up every Saturday. No matter what you're doing, you still decide to call in to Heart, and we thank you and we appreciate you, and we are grateful for the time that you spend with us here on the show. Hold on, our apostle is on. Let me unmute her. Good morning, beloved.
Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. I had a few minutes before we had to go into our session this morning, so I just wanted to sneak in real quick and say good morning. Good morning to Tamika and to Joyce and Lester and the Prophetess Kim and Joyce in New York and Deacon Banks and Isaiah. And all of the people, you know, that call in every day. I miss y'all. I mean, I've been away so long, and I miss y'all and can't wait to get back with you on next Saturday. But I just wanted to say praise the Lord. I just wanted to publicly thank Minister Tabika. You know, she's just been standing in, even in the midst of her, you know, her grieving and so forth. She's still made a way for you to have a show somehow, some way. So, darling, I thank you. I love you. I appreciate you to the utmost. And I am excited about getting back home and sharing the information with you. I'm really looking forward to
Amen.
It.
Amen. To God be the glory. I love you too, woman of God.
Amen, darling. God bless.
God bless. See you soon. Amen. So, with that, I am going to open us up in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You are wonderful and worthy to be praised. You are healthy and, I'm sorry, you are Alpha and Omega. Did not mean to say healthy, Lord God. Please forgive me. I don't know where that word came from. But anyway, you are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And, Lord, we just bless your holy name. We thank you for who you called us to be. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all that you are doing in this season. We thank you, Lord God, that there is none like you. We thank you for waking us up this morning, and we thank you for keeping us throughout the night. We thank you for making a way when we could see no way, and we just thank you for your unconditional love and your faithfulness towards us, Lord God. We thank you for the hedge of protection that is over us each and every day. We thank you for the angels that are dispatched on our behalf. We thank you, Father God, for those that you have placed in our life for whatever them there for, to minister to us, to encourage us, to give us direction, and even sometimes to tell us, you know, when we've fallen short or haven't been, sorry, or have not been doing what you have told us to do. Because there are times when you, Father God, will speak to someone to bring them back into your grace, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. So I just thank you, Lord, for the ways that you get our attention, because sometimes we could be so easily distracted and we forget what it is that you have told us to do. We forget what you've promised us. That's a lot of times we forget the promises that you made unto us when life becomes weary and we feel like we can't make it and things are going on around us and it seems so hard. We forget the promises of God. And Lord, I just pray that you would bring us back now. I pray, Father God, that you will remind us. You will remind us of your promises in the name of Jesus so that we won't give up, so that we won't get weary, so that we won't feel like we can't make it. And so, Lord God, even the people that are in our lives that don't treat us right, or the people that say they love us but their actions say something different, God, please continue to keep our hearts pure. Please continue to keep our hearts away from bitterness in the name of Jesus. Continue to keep our hearts of flesh, hearts of love, hearts of forgiveness, hearts of repentance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I just thank you. I just thank you for who you are and who you called us to be. I thank you, Father God, that you have not forgotten about us. I thank you, Lord God, that there is none like you. I thank you, Father God, that you, Father, are above any and everything that we see or hear or experience in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that your promises are yes and amen, and I thank you that your promises never return unto you void. So I pray for every person on this line today, Lord God, whatever they stand in need of, whatever they've been praying for, whatever they've been crying out to you for, Lord God, I just pray that they are patient enough and they sit still enough to hear your voice and hear your direction. And even if it's not what they want to hear, Father God, I just pray that they submit and do whatever it is that you tell them to do. So, Father, we thank you for you being God. We thank you, Lord God, for that you created us. We thank you, Lord God, that you believe in us. We thank you, Lord God, that you trust us. And we thank you, Lord God, for creating us in your image. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. Amen. Amen. And please forgive me. I guess my allergies are trying to act up at this point, and it always seems like when it's time for me to start talking, then my allergies or something about a cough or something starts to happen. But in the name of Jesus, God, I just pray that you touch my lungs now, Lord God. Remove any mucus or anything that's trying to hinder me from talking in the name of Jesus. Thank you even now, Lord God, that you are with me, and I give you permission to have your way. I give you permission to use me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So today we're going to talk about discerning the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, does it agree with the Bible? I know a lot of times we, you know, Christians, we desire to hear the voice of God. And sometimes, you know, we can get frustrated because we're not sure if we are hearing the word of God. But one way that you can determine whether or not what you hear is from God or is the voice of God is to ask yourself, does it agree with the Bible? Now, in order for that question to be answered, you have to know what the Bible says. But straight off the top, you know, if God, for one example, if God says no sex before marriage, and you hear a voice that says, oh, it's okay to test the waters before you get married, you know that's not the voice of God. So that's some things are just obvious to and that you really don't have to question whether that's God's voice or not, because God will never agree with sin. So I just want to start out by reading Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and we all should know. And I'm not going to say we all should know, because there will be people that will come and listen that do not know. So let me take that off the table. Let me take what I just said off the table. There are people that will come back and listen to this show that do not know this scripture, these verses of this chapter of Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden. But about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die." "No, you will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And so we know from the beginning, this is where the fall of man took place. It's because that cunning, ugly serpent. And when we say serpent, so serpent was the instrument of Satan. We're not going to say it was like this, a snake that was talking, but it was just something that Satan used to deceive Adam and Eve. And the word cunning, because it says now the serpent was the most cunning, and this word suggests that the serpent offered a wisdom not based on the fear of God. And so sometimes when we have conversations with people, and we're sharing things, with people what God has said. And even when we're trying to help, encourage and help people through some things, we use the Bible as we should, as the basis to truth. And so even when we're ministering to people, or we're talking to people about something that we've gone through, and, you know, we're adamant about what God said, it'll always be someone that's going to say, "Well, are you sure that's what God said? Are you sure that he didn't say that this, that, and the other?" And sometimes when they're asking you this question, if it's something that you know God told you, but you feel like you don't want to do it, somebody may say to you, "Is that what God said? Didn't God tell you A, B, and C?" And a lot of times that person that's saying this to you may not even know what God told you, but at that moment God is speaking through that person to remind you, to bring you back to what God told you or told you not to do. And sometimes we stay in a stagnant place out of disobedience because we want to fulfill our flesh and make our flesh happy. And God is saying, "Look, I have so much more for you to do. I have so much more for you to see. I have so much more for you to experience." But we want to stay satisfying that flesh that is that will turn against us. And so when, you know, Eve was talking to Satan, you know, it was a conversation that really she didn't have to have with him. Because God had already told her what to do. God had already gave her direction. You know, he told her what to do. So technically, it was no reason for her to have this conversation with Satan because her father had already told her what to do. And a lot of times we do that in the natural, like our parents already told us what to do, but then somebody else will come along and say something different, and it goes against what our parents told us to do, and we end up getting in trouble. And so that's the same thing here. Adam and Eve got in trouble, and I'm sure at the moment that they ate that fruit and everything changed, I know they probably wished that they could go backwards and not eat the fruit. And so how many of you have been in situations where you've been deceived? And at the moment that you realize that you were deceived, you wanted to go backwards and undo what it is that you did. And a lot of times we find ourselves in situations like that because we want to be in control. We want to know the outcome. We want to control the outcome. We want to control whatever it is that we feel like should happen. And a lot of times what we see or what we think should happen for us is not the same thing that God wants or even sees. And so it's always best that you follow his voice. And again, and if you don't know his voice, I would direct you to the Bible because, again, God is not going to tell you to sin. He's not going to agree with sin. Satan is the one that's going to agree with sin. And so when you're having conversations with people and they say something that you know, it piques your interest and you're like, okay, I wonder if that is what, you know, what God wants me to do. Because people will come up with all these great ideas. You know, the world is filled with false and deceptive voices, and some of them are about religion, and many of them even claim to speak for God. And so as believers, we know God is sovereign and reigns supreme. And so you have to, when you're talking to people, you have to pay attention and you have to focus on what it is that they're talking about at that time, because sometimes people repeat things because it's something that their family would do. But it's not of God. It's something that they could have even learned in a ministry, but it's not of God. And so you have to make sure that you know the word for yourself so that you aren't deceived into doing something that may look good, but it's not good. It may look like something that God wanted you to do, but it did not come from God. And so anytime that you will always find, anytime Satan lies, you will always find the portion of the lie, even if it looks like it's wrapped in truth. And so a lot of times, you know, we question God's word because the first two chapters of Genesis presents a breathtaking account of creation and the world in which the first couple, Adam and Eve, lived. And, you know, God provided them with everything necessary that they needed. Like, they had everything that they needed. God gave them everything, you know, to enjoy abundant, joyful, eternal life. And because they came from dust, God breathed life into them and gave them a luxurious garden in which to live and enjoy a close fellowship with him. Could not have been better than to be in this garden, you know, with the Lord and fellowshipping. I mean, close fellowshipping with him. I mean, I'm looking out my window and I can see, you know, I can see the people, you know, people's grass and it's green and I can see the green trees. But out of my window, I also see houses in the middle of the trees and, you know, just looking at the grass. So I don't have a clear picture of just looking outside and all I can see is trees and the greenery and flowers and everything like that. But I want you to imagine yourself in the garden with the Lord. And I just want you to take a moment and just imagine yourself in that beautiful garden with the Lord and being close to him and talking to him and laughing with him and him giving you direction and telling you how to live. And telling you how to love people and telling you how to just giving you wisdom and giving you knowledge about certain things. And you not having any care in the world about what's going on around you, because in those moments you are so close to God that nothing bothers you. Nothing gets on your nerves. Nothing is disturbing your peace. There is joy. You know, there is laughter, there is love, you know, just a closeness. where you don't have to worry about anything. Anything. You don't have to worry about anything. And so, you know, just feeling his presence, and his presence is just, he's next to you. He's sitting next to you. And you are just gleaning from the Father. You're gleaning from the Father. You're just taking in everything that he's saying, and it's filling you, and it's filling your heart, and it's bringing joy to you. Now, you physically can't be there, but what I just did was gave you a mental picture of how it could be, and giving you a mental picture, if you're in a quiet place, you know, that it could take you there. You could be in the presence of God at that moment, not physically there per se, but you are with the Father in that moment of peace, in that moment of quietness, in that moment of seeking him. You're there with him. And so when they decided to go against what God had told them to do, everything fell apart. And so, we hate that happened, because we all could still be enjoying that. But that's the thing. We're all going to encounter something that will cause to make a – we as humans, we make mistakes. Sometimes we say things that we don't mean to say, but in the heat or in that moment, it comes out. And when it does, you have to be ready to apologize. Even if, because sometimes we react from things that people say and do to us. We react from that moment of what they said, and we still have a responsibility to have self-control. Even in those moments, that person could be saying something that is really, 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 really tearing you apart. And I'm not saying that you have to sit there and take it, but don't react to them in the same way that they're reacting to you, is what I'm saying. You excuse yourself, or you say, hey, I'm not going to sit here and allow you to, you know, abuse me this way. And so I'm going to excuse myself. And then, you know, later on, I'll call you later, or we can, you know, talk later. But right now, this is not a healthy atmosphere. And so, you know, I'm going to politely excuse myself. And then when you're able to talk to the person, don't give in to people. Don't give in to their ways, because a lot of times people like confrontation. People like to go back and forth with people. And so when you do that, you find yourself acting just like them. And a lot of times that gives that person satisfaction. And you have to, it's just like giving the enemy satisfaction, giving him exactly what he wants. Don't give it to him. Be strong enough to be able to walk away from it. Be strong enough to be able to talk about it later. And sometimes, you know, you hear people say you have to pick your battle, because everything does not warrant a response at that time. Sometimes you don't have to say anything, because God is always gonna fight for us anyway. But you don't tolerate disrespect from people, and not tolerating disrespect from people doesn't mean that you get all belligerent and you find yourself cursing and acting a fool just like they are. No, you don't act the same way, but you do have to have boundaries with people, and you have to command respect from people, but you don't have to act the way that they're acting. And so when we go back to look at this situation with Adam and Eve, it's like, why would you do that? You know, sometimes when we read this scripture, we get mad at Eve, like, God told you not to do it. Why did you do it? You made it bad for all of us. And again, because you did not have to, because your Father already told you, he already gave you direction. And from that, you know, many sincere Christians worry that they may not be able to discern the difference between Satan's voice and God's voice. And they fear that Satan might deceive them into doing something that brings them or others harm. However, both God and Satan speak in ways that are consistent with their nature. So if you pay close attention, like I said before, you know, Satan will give himself away. God is positive, Satan is negative. When the serpent addressed Eve, he said you, and he uses the plural each time. This probably indicates that Adam was also was present also, hearing what the serpent said. And in Genesis 3:6, it also mentions that Adam was with her. Satan is the father of lies and a master deceiver. And in the temptation of Eve, he subtly lured her into ruin. And it's easy when you're having a conversation with somebody and you're not paying attention to what they say, you could be easily deceived into believing or doing what it is that they want you to do. And some people are so manipulative that they can deceive you into doing something and you know better. And so that's why you have to put on your full armor of God every day. We have to be in our word to know the difference. And, you know, some people, that's their lives are based on being a manipulator. And it's almost like that is their career, that is their profession, that's what they live for, is to manipulate people. And so that's what Satan did to Eve. He manipulated her into doing the opposite of what God told her to do. So you will ask yourself, what causes us to doubt what God has said in his word? So one thing would be that Satan questions God's word. Did God really say? So rather than challenging God's words outright from the outset, he began by raising doubt. Anytime someone says something that causes you to doubt God's instructions, you can be certain it is not God who is speaking. Satan misrepresents God's words. The serpent asked, did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden? This was a gross misrepresentation of what God had said. In fact, God declared that Adam and Eve were free to eat from any tree in the garden except one. It should be noted that when God gave his instructions on eating from the trees in the garden, Eve had not yet been created. Nonetheless, people who do not know God's word well are always the most vulnerable to Satan's lies. The best defense against deception is being fully aware of the truth. And then Satan slanders God's character. Imagine bringing a child into a candy shop and then telling him that he cannot have any. It would be cruel to treat your children so callously. That is, in effect, what Satan was saying. It implied that God was withholding what was good from Adam and Eve. This certainly is one of Satan's favorite deceptions. Rather than pointing out the vast forest of fruit trees from which they could eat, Satan focused solely on the tree that was forbidden. And I am sharing this information from a Bible study book called You. And and it comes from Lifeway, lifeway.com, and the Bible study book is called You. So that's how we begin to doubt God's word, because the question, the question. And then sometimes people want to minimize God's power. And, you know, when we begin to share our testimonies, or we begin to help other people, you know, through decision-making and telling them not to sin and not to have sex before marriage and not to do this and not to do that, you know, people want to make it seem like God is boring or God is cruel and they can't have fun, and because their definition of having fun is sin. So anytime we come against that, you know, they want to cast God in this bad light, like he's so controlling and he's so this and he's so that, because they want to stay in that place that they're in, and they don't want to hear truth. And it's fine, but you have to give them truth, but it's up to them to receive truth. So if anyone has anything at this time that they want to share before I continue, if you have anything you want to share, comment, question, please press 1 on your keypad, and I will unmute your line so that you can speak. And you are listening to Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and this is your host, Tabika Garnes. And I thank you all for your time today. Okay, so I don't see anyone pressing 1 on their keypads yet. So another thing is, don't alter God's word. Eve responded to the serpent's misrepresentation of God's instructions with her own distortion. And she acknowledged correctly that God had welcomed them to eat the fruit of the tree. But then she added, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. Satan had sought to take away from God's word by claiming Eve could not eat from any of the trees. This was blatantly untrue, but Eve committed a similar error by adding to God's command. She added that God forbade them from touching the fruit, but this was not so. Eve also lessens God's words. She omitted the words free and any from God's command. God had extended the maximum freedom possible, yet Eve's statement lessened God's generosity. When Eve left out the significant words any and free, she failed to acknowledge God's provision. So it wasn't that God just said, you know, you can't eat from any of these trees. It was just one. But it was like, you know, she then, when was questioned by the serpent, she totally forgot exactly what God has said. And so we have to protect our ear gates. And that's why, you know, certain things that we watch or listen to, we have to protect our ear gates, because some of that stuff isn't good for us to watch or listen to. Because, again, it can distort what God has said. And we may not contribute it to the things that we watch on TV or the things that we listen to, but it can when it has Satan's lies and deceit and all that in it, it could distort the way you see things and the way that you hear things. So you want to be careful with that. One of the most dangerous things in a person's life is a half truth. These are truths that are partially correct, but they contain falsehood. Such deceptions can creep into people's lives without them being aware. This can happen when Christians neglect to study their Bibles or when they are careless with their doctrine. And so just don't contradict God's word. The longer Eve talked with the serpent, okay, so the longer she talked with the serpent, the more audacious his challenges to God's instructions became. At first, he merely questioned God's command, but now he boldly challenged it as false. Satan minimizes the consequences of sin because he says, no, you will certainly not die. Satan will always minimize or discount sin's consequences. The world declares that the Bible is obsolete and oppressive. You know, critics distort God's word to try and put it into the worst light possible. And underneath it all is Satan, who is adamantly opposed to God's word. And so you'll hear people that say the Bible is archaic, the Bible is old. You know, that was written all the thousands of years ago, and how does that even relate to us now? So these are the things that will plant a seed of doubt. And if you water that seed of doubt, then you will become doubtful. So you have to remember whose you are, and what the word of God says, because you'll have people that try to steer you away from where God is taking you. And you know what God has done in your life. You know what you've seen, what God has done in others' lives that may be connected to you. And so don't be so easily swayed by what people say. you know, even, you know, it's the controversy about paying tithes. You know, some people believe that that was Old Testament and no longer applies in the New Testament, no longer applies here and now. And so some people no longer pay tithes. And I want to ask those people, you know, are your cupboards bare? Did the you know, the curses that come from not paying your tithes, is that happening in your household? And so people feel one way about something, and then they try to bring other people into the way that they feel. And some people have listened to those who feel like you should no longer pay tithes. But then it's like, if you don't pay tithes, how does the church stay open? How does the pastor live? You know, how does certain projects and things that take place in a church, how do they happen if we no longer have to pay tithes? You know, the bills still have to get paid. The gas and electric, the mortgage, all of these things still have to get paid. And so don't be, you know, so easily deceived, because you might be at that point where you're like, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of paying tithes. I don't want to do this anymore. And then that person says, well, you know, you don't. You know, it's always good to go back, always good to be before the Lord, to hear what the Lord says. Don't let the voices of the people clog your ear gates and cause you to become deaf to God's word, because that is exactly where Satan wants you to be. Satan also insinuates that God withholds good. God created Eve out of the dust of the ground. He placed her in a paradise and said to enjoy it. Yet Satan tries to portray God as miserly and cruel. Satan tempts with wisdom and the promise of becoming like God. Imagine how ludicrous it was for a creature only recently clay, now believing she could become like her creator. Knowledge is a seductive thing. It fosters pride. It makes people think they no longer need God. And you know, we sometimes, and it's sad to say that we see that in certain ministries, because the knowledge, because people gravitate to people that know certain things, you know, even people that are unable to, you know, they examine the word of God and they're able to teach it, you know, from front to back, from middle to start, you know, they're able to, you know, decipher the scriptures and everything. And so it's like they know a lot, and not just only about scriptures. They know a lot because they may study. So they know a lot. And then sometimes this causes people to flock to them and to, like, kind of low-key worship them. And then pride is born. Pride starts to take over, and then eventually the person is like, oh, I know everything. You know, I know everything about the word of God. I know this, I know that. And slowly they think that they no longer need God, because now pride has taken over, which was the same thing that happened to Satan. And so we just have to be careful of even the conversations that we have with people. Be careful with those conversations. Sometimes in a moment, Satan will speak through that person, and you'll be sitting there, and you're like, what? Like, what? Where did that come from? Or why did you say that? And the person is looking at you dumbfounded, because they don't know why you don't understand what it is that they're saying, or they're saying they didn't say that. And, you know, sometimes we have conversations with people, and they'll say, I didn't say that. And you're like, yes, you did. I just heard you say it. And sometimes it wasn't them that said it. It was Satan that spoke through that person. You know, just as God can speak through us. And so you just have to have your discernment cued. It needs to be on, and it needs to be working. And so how can the Bible ensure that you hear the voice of God? And because the world, again, is filled with false and deceptive voices today, and many of them even claim to speak for God, therefore, everything we experience needs to be held up to the scrutiny of God's word. God never contradicts himself. The Bible shows us how we can distinguish between what's valid and what's not. So one thing you should do is evaluate what you hear. List the most common ways the world rejects God's word today and consider why people choose to reject God and his word. Make a list. You should write down some decisions you need to make and note the different voices that are advising you how to decide. Consider if those voices line up with God's word. Study the word. Develop a plan of Bible study for the next 12 months where you intentionally learn God's word better than you already do. Study to deepen understanding of God's word. So those are some things that can help you or can ensure that you hear the voice of God and no other. And when you're ministering to people, make sure that you know what it is that you're talking about. And when I say that, it's because people are going to challenge you. People are going to have you thinking, questioning yourself. They're going to have you thinking, do you really know what you believe? They're going to have you thinking, you know, who are you really? It's so many ways that the enemy will try to rip you apart and tear you down. And so when you're having conversations with people and people begin to challenge you, don't fall into the debate. Don't fall into the back and forth with people. Don't let them pull you into their playground. You stay on God's side. Don't get pulled into the enemy's playground. Because when you find yourself over there and everything and it's over with, like you're finished with the person, and then you go back and reflect, you're like, oh my goodness, I let that situation, that conversation pull me over into the enemy's playground. And you will have to go back to that person, and you're gonna have to apologize. You're gonna have to say, look, in the heat of the moment, you know, I got pulled into the enemy's playground. I apologize. We're human, so that means we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes, you know, we're going to fall, but it's okay. Like, it's not the end of the world, but we have to make sure that we go back and correct what we may have done wrong. 'Cause you don't want to turn people off to God. You don't want to be the person to turn people off from God and be the reason why they don't want to have a relationship with him because of your action. And so when we say we love somebody, there's an act. That's an action. The word love is an action word. It's not a word that you just say followed by nothing. There is an action that comes behind that. Either, you know, you ask them, Can I hug you? Can I shake your hand? What is it that I can do for you? You know, pray with the person. You know, give them God. Give them your experience. Share your testimony. All these things, you know, and it doesn't have to be a gift to tell somebody that you love them. You know, it doesn't have to be a gift. It's not always a tangible thing. But when you tell somebody that you love them, they should know that, they should feel that, and they shouldn't have to question that because of your actions. And a lot of people, their definition of love is tainted because of things that they've experienced by people who told them that they love them, okay? And so even that person has to seek healing, even that person has to seek forgiveness, and even deliverance from some things because of how much it hurt them. It sent them into a dark place. And so we are the light. You know, we are the light. We are the salt and the light. And so we have to look like our Father. And if something that you're doing does not look like the Father, you should stop. If it doesn't represent our Father in a good way like it should, you should stop. And so this is what I wanted to share with you all today, and I hope that it helped some. And again, as I always say, that you should share with someone that you may think may benefit from it. But before I go, I'm going to ask again, is there anyone that has anything that they want to share so that I can unmute your line so that you can share what it is that you want to share? Awesome. Okay, one second. Good morning, Ms. Joyce. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just want to take a moment to tell you how wonderful it is for me forward to getting up on Saturday morning and listening and finding a way to hear what you're saying. God's word is just so powerful, and he's in such a wonderful, magnanimous way. I'm telling you, don't get worried. Don't talk back to you. Sometimes they're raising grass and chewing on it and just chewing on it, and it's something to take them through the rest of the week, something to cause, provoke them to just think about things in a different way. So as always, I'm always a spirit of encouragement to you. And that's all. I enjoyed this and look forward to happening next.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for the encouragement, as you always do. I truly appreciate you. You don't know how much, but I truly appreciate you. Just the text that you send, the encouragement that you share with us on the line, it's truly amazing. And I really, from my heart, I appreciate you. So thank you.
Well, Christ is doing a mighty work. Okay, and you know I'm 7 years old, and I've been churched all my life. And he's changing his heart. I pray, God, show me the error of my way. My, will you? I absolutely love. That's it.
Amen. And your phone went out a little bit, but I did hear you say I love, but I'm not sure what the end was. So if you said I love you, you love God, he loves you, and I love you too.
All right. We're good.
Amen. All right. The next person, hold on. Your last 4 digits are 4150. Good morning.
Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, Auntie Denise. How are you?
I'm fine, honey. I was just so encouraged today. You said so many things, and it was like, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness, you know. And it's so true, you were saying. I especially love when you said about how Eve failed to, you know, remind Satan of all that God had provided when he kept her focus on the one thing she couldn't have. And many times that is why some Christians are miserable. The Satan is always pointing out to them what they can't have, what they can't do. And they don't go back and say, yeah, but God gave me this, and God allows me to do this. And, you know, we forget the goodness of God. It's like we have to defend God. God doesn't need to be defended. And I think a lot of times we allow the enemy to back us up against the wall, and we think we got to defend God, and we got to prove that God is as good as he is. No, let their words condemn them. You were so right when you said we don't have to come to their level. We don't have to allow them to make us do or say the wrong thing. And that's what we forget sometimes. It was just so good, the things you were pointing out now, and I just really appreciate it. And the final thing I wanted to say is, yes, we do. We read our Bible, but sometimes, because you've read it so much, you can forget what you've read, you know, and we may forget something. And I remember my son pointed out to me one time, he said, Mom, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I said, no, he didn't. He goes, Yes, she did. I said, no. And I'm thinking, why would God want to make someone act stupid and just, you know, go against him? And he goes, Mom, I'm telling you, God hardened his heart. And I had to go back and read it because, you know, we love the New Testament. But let's look at the Old Testament. Sometimes, you know, people don't want to do that. People who say, oh, you don't have to pay tithes. This is a new day. God said, you've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. See, if they think we don't have to pay tithes, then you're not giving offerings either. And it can't be an offering unless you've already paid the tithes, you know. So there's just different things how the enemy will just come in and he robbed us of things. He robbed us. And you just, it was just on point, just pointing out. And I was like, yeah, I can remember some of those things. I can remember I was just like that, you know. So thank you so much. I really appreciate today's lesson.
Amen. Well, for God be the glory. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate you, too.
Yes. And I love you, honey, and you have a good day.
I love you, too, and you do as well.
All right, baby.
All right. Okay. So thank you, too, so much. I appreciate that. The other thing, when Auntie Denise was talking about, you know, reading your Bible so much that you forget, well, for me, when I read the Bible, I get discouraged because some of the things I don't understand. Like, I can't, it's almost like some things feel like riddles to me, and I absolutely hate riddles. For some reason, I hate riddles because I feel like when I can't get it, I feel like I get down on myself. So when the other day I sat down to read the Bible and I was talking to God and I was like, God, I just get so discouraged at times because when I'm reading, I just feel like I don't get it. And what he said was, read the Bible as if I don't understand and that he will give me the understanding. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Like, it made me feel so much better. It just gave me some relief because I guess when I was trying to read the Bible, it was like I'm trying to read as if I already understand it. And so trying to read it from that perspective of already understanding it, and it was like, but I really wasn't. And so, you know, he's telling me to read it, you know, as if you don't, just read it. Just don't try to overthink or don't try to put, you know, my own spin on it, trying to think of, you know, and that's probably what I was doing. I was trying to understand it in my own strength. And I can't. So when I read it, I have to go into it like, I don't understand this. And then, you know, confessing that. And then allowing God to give me the understanding. And so, you know, I really appreciated him for helping me with that because I'm telling you, I struggled with reading the Bible and trying to understand what it is, the things that, you know, he says and trying to make it make sense. And, you know, and sometimes when you're trying to make it make sense from your own understanding, you can't. That's why we're not to trust in our own. And so I just thank God for being an awesome God, for being a caring God, because he knows that some of us have struggles with reading the Bible. And it's not because it's a struggle because we don't want to adhere to it or we don't want to, you know, follow what it says. It's because for some of us, it goes over our heads, and it's hard to understand. But I do thank him for giving me that peace. And so, you know, when I read it, it's like I come from a different way of reading it now. So it's helpful. So that's all I wanted to share for today. I thank you all for being with me again today. I thank you just for, even if you didn't say anything, I thank you for being here and listening. And I just, what time is it? Almost 10 o'clock. You have the rest of your Saturday to enjoy and your Sunday. And just make this weekend great. Just make this weekend great. Touch somebody's life just by a smile. So to God be the glory, and we will meet back here next Saturday. And again, just have fun. Be before the Lord. Listen for his voice. Let him touch your heart, and you be who God called you to be. I love you guys. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.